Well, I'll tell you what, it would be worth it just to watch the view. It's too late now. I think it's on earlier in the morning. I don't watch it. I've stumbled upon it. But to watch the reaction from the ladies on The View to the announcement that former President Donald Trump is selling God Bless the USA Bibles now. We've got the team together. Dave Rieger, Danielle Mason, Rich Luzinski, WJR Traffic and Weather first. David, your reaction to the president adding the Bible now to the various things, sneakers and other things that he has, I guess, put his endorsement, his name on, and selling. Any reaction?
No, not really. Not really. I don't have a reaction either one way or the other, to tell you the truth.
$59.99 each. They come with copies of the U.S. Constitution, the Bill of Rights, Declaration of Independence, Pledge of Allegiance, and handwritten lyrics to Lee Greenwood's God Bless the USA. Great song. And he's advertising them out there.
It's kind of doing the same thing that Donald Trump does with all his mugs and T-shirts and pins.
This is Donald Trump.
I mean, oh, I'm sorry. I thought you were talking... It doesn't surprise me at all. He's got to make money. So,
well, the funniest thing is it says in here, like it's a plus, the proceeds will not go toward my presidential campaign. No, they're going to go toward his illegal campaign.
His other legal issues.
Yeah. Anyway, so
I do like that song though.
Yeah, I love that song. That song brings me to tears. I love that song, no question about it. But anyway, what'll happen is, I think, they'll sell out after they sell as many as they can. They'll sell out, and then they'll go for more than $59.99.
Possibly.
I just think.
I mean, you know.
He says religion and Christianity are the biggest things missing from this country. He's probably right.
Everything that he touches seems to turn out pretty good in his favor. Look at his Truth Social.
Yeah, oh, unbelievable. Out of nowhere, he gets an additional $3 billion that's the most money ever for him.
I mean, isn't he always been like that, though? Ever since he's been around? I mean,
he's been able to put his name on buildings, and then people think he owns the building, and really, he's just being paid rent for his name on the building. I was stunned when I first learned that. That was many, many, many years ago. Now, that's not to say he doesn't own a lot of buildings. He does, but I'm saying he also got smart and realized he could put his name on buildings for a fee and make a lot of money. Anyway, make America pray again, I guess is what we would say. And I'm not against that. For those who pray, I happen to pray. I think it's a good thing, and I think that it's kind of fallen by the wayside. The update was pretty obvious that we knew that when they couldn't find those six people missing from the fallen bridge, the tragedy in Baltimore, that they are now presumed, as you might guess, to be dead. But it could have been much worse. It could have been much worse. The ship issued a mayday before hitting the bridge, and therefore the bridge operators stopped people from going on the bridge. That was like a last second thing, though. I mean, that I'm not complaining. They did a mayday. I'm glad they did that. But if you noticed when you see the video, there are cars still going over that thing 20 seconds before the bridge falls. But it looked like they made it to the other side and they were okay. RFK picks Nicole Shanahan, 38, lawyer and philanthropist. She was married to the Google co-founder, Sergey Brin, who's a name we don't hear very often. But he, too, became a multi-billionaire from Google. And so when they got divorced, so did his wife. And now Robert F. Kennedy has picked her. And he's getting a lot of coverage, a lot of news, and we're getting word that the Democrats are very worried that if RFK Jr. stays in the race, it will cost their reelection for the Biden campaign. That it's just going to be, it's just, they don't want him to stay in. His family members don't want him to stay in because they support the Democrats and Biden. Now, I have a project for you. Oh, Ronna McDaniel was fired. I hope she got millions out of the deal. I don't suspect she wants to tell us, and I don't know if it'll ever come out because they were all sworn to secrecy because the NBC executives don't want to look as stupid as they look. First, not to getting the temperature of how their people think about anybody that's a big name that they've reported on. Not that they ask permission, but they should have understood that there would be a mutiny, and there was. And it shows that the NBC management isn't really in control of NBC. And they say, sheepishly, they're committed to centering voices that represent different parts of the political spectrum. That's centering? That can't be the word that's supposed to be in that quote. They want to have people with different views, they claim, like Fox does, and Fox treats the people that they disagree with much more courtesy than these NBC guys have. I would say I would stop watching NBC because what's the point? But I watch the NBC nightly news, and I watch the ABC nightly news, and I watch the CBS nightly news. There should be hazardous duty pay for having to watch all of the news that we have to watch. Psychiatrists will tell you you're better off if you don't watch the news every night. I'm sorry. They do. And I think they're right. All right, now this one is a time for you to shine, Dave Rieger, ESPN devotee. What the hell did the NFL owners just approve yesterday at their annual league meeting regarding a new kickoff that we're going to be seeing? A new kickoff. What's the story?
Yeah, they took it from the XFL. Yeah, it's they're taking. I don't know. I don't know if it's been approved yet or if it's in the vote right now. But
let's see what my paperwork here says. Great day for the NFL, overall special teams, been in the works for years, used in the XFL doesn't exist anymore, does it?
Right, the XFL USFL merged, so now they're together now. But it was basically the kickoff. You know, there's been a whole thing about injuries and kickoffs for a long time in the NFL, and they were trying to find a way to change it. So now they're going to this new way, which they think it'll be more exciting but safe at the same time. The thing that I don't necessarily like about it is now you have to let the other team know if you're going to try an onside kick, and that takes and that takes away some of
you're
these.
Kidding
that
me.
Yeah, that takes away what? Some of the surprise.
Why would that is just plain that, stupid. That,
now you're going to kind of know if they're lined up in a certain way, but it's still. If you remember the Super Bowl when it was the Saints and the Colts and Sean Payton came out and tricked them at the beginning of the second half with an onside kick and that helped the Saints win. So I think it takes away some of that.
It's part of the game.
You know, some of the trickery, if you will.
How our Lions got screwed when they supposedly didn't go over to the ref and tell them that they were going to be going downfield. And eligible to catch a pass, and then the referee goes and tells the defense, "Oh, by the way,
they also announced it after over the PA too." So,
God, I don't get it.
But
I mean, these are sports guys.
And there's
also
also the new thing about the swivel tackle, the hip tackle too. That's another thing that they're outlawing. So it's going to be just more. What it really does is I don't think the NFL really knows what a catch is yet because everything is to the mind of the ref and what they're perceiving. So now with this new thing about the hip, the swivel tackle being banned, it's going to just mean for more, arguments and, Monday morning quarterbacks, if you will, for sports talk radio on what happened. But they did it. But the coaches are getting an extra challenge, which actually is kind of cool. So,
all right. There are no more fair catches either.
Yeah.
That just doesn't – I don't
know. So what's going to happen is that you'll have the guy kick it in the end zone. They're going to get it to 30 instead of the 25, so, yeah.
the receiving team cannot move until the football has either been fielded by a returner or touches the ground in the landing zone.
Right.
Receiving team can have just two returners.
Yep.
The coverage team will be lined up together.
Mm-hmm.
The kicker will be by himself.
It's a weird looking setup if you've seen the video.
I haven't seen the video, but yeah. I didn't realize we needed to fix the kickoff.
They've been trying to fix the kickoff for years.
Okay. Well, I knew you would shine on that one as the NFL owners approve the new kickoff rule. And we've got the swivel tackle. We got it all. And we'll cover it all for you here in Focus with Paul W. Smith and the team, Dave Rieger, Danielle Mason, Rich Luzinski with our WJR traffic and weather first. Nice to be with you. People still reeling and will be for some time with a horrific bridge collapse, tragedy, accident in Baltimore when it was hit by a cargo ship. There are a lot of questions, obviously, when anything like this happens. And a lot of investigation will happen. It's pretty much said now, pretty obviously, that there are no more survivors. They saved two people. There are six that have been missing and are continuing to be missing, and it's not a rescue operation any longer. Ryan Schmelz, Fox News correspondent and fine WJR contributor here with the latest report on this story that we've all been following since the moment it happened at about 1:30 or so in the morning the other morning. Ryan, always a pleasure having you on board. I wish it was for happier news.
Yeah, certainly, Paul, but I appreciate it. Thank you. It's obviously close to home since I still have a lot of family up that way and know a lot of people who travel over that bridge almost every day. So it's been a wild last couple hours.
Oh, I bet it has been. But the idea of six falling from the bridge, being tossed into that cold water in the middle of the night,
terrifying.
And surviving is just, it is terrifying. I mean, it's terrifying for the families, and we asked for prayers for them. And those of us who pray said a prayer, and now they're going to have to deal with that. But now the authorities are kicking around all kinds of ideas. One of the ideas I heard was that the ship might have taken on bad fuel.
There's a lot that's going on. We don't know for sure till this investigation's complete. All we know right now is that there was likely some type of failure, either electrical or mechanical, most likely based off of experts we've spoken with, and that pretty much caused the ship to just lose control, and it was going at a speed that and when you combine that speed with the impact that it hit the bridge, that bridge came tumbling down. And you know, I think there are going to be a lot of questions about the infrastructure of the bridge and all that. Reports say that it was, you know, structurally sufficient, but you know, bridges like that, especially some older ones, aren't built to have a giant cargo ship just ram into it like that. And that's the reality of the situation.
Yeah, and it's been brought up, I don't know, argued, brought up, that no bridge is built to have something as heavy as the one of those container ships hit it full on, I guess, a better way of putting it, and still survive. But I suspect what they're going to talk about are backup systems that control that if one area is hit, the rest of the areas have enough support to hold them up. If it, you know, I'm not a bridge builder, you're not a bridge builder, we don't know. It's frustrating to see. I mean, it did fall so incredibly quickly that it made you think for a moment that it was just not a very strong bridge. But again, it's not built to carry that. Here's the other question. I haven't heard it lately, but I'd heard that they felt the ship was going too fast, which is interesting because a pilot who takes ships through there all the time was on the ship. I don't know if he thought that, it's 1:30 in the morning, we can go a little faster. I don't know what the thinking was. And also, because if you go in the center, there's that big opening. Why were they way over to the right when they had power? Their right, our left, while we're watching it. And then they have to try to steer back toward the center when they lose their power and can't really control the ship. Obviously, there are a lot of questions here. Something or some things went terribly wrong, or we wouldn't be talking about such a catastrophe.
Right. All questions that we're going to be asking and all questions that we're going to hope to get answers for at some point. So I think it's just a wait-and-see approach. And, you know, this thing's probably not going to happen overnight. It's probably going to be a long, drawn-out process. But in terms of getting the bridge reconstructed and what the next steps are there, I think that might be a little bit of a quicker one. Who knows?
Is there I do want to get to, you said some of the experts you talked to, so I want you to be able to tell us what you've learned on your own, specifically Ryan Schmelz, Fox News correspondent, WJR contributor. I haven't heard anything more about, or have they decided from all the video, that a whole bunch of cars, or any cars at all, did not go in, that they had stopped and the other ones had gotten over the bridge before it collapsed?
I believe Fox just reported that there was a bridge found in the water near the site, but
a car found in the water near the site.
A vehicle. Yeah. So I think they're gonna. I still got to read more into that and get more confirmation from that. But we're reporting that right now, so that's one thing to keep in mind. I think one thing that we are following, and we're gonna have a report coming out about this soon, and maybe an interview with it a little bit later on, is Congressman Andy Harris, who represents Maryland. He's the only Republican in Maryland's congressional delegation. He's put out a push that he wants the state and local leaders and also the federal government to reduce certain regulations in order for them to build the bridge back up as quickly as possible, related to environmental regulations and some other regulations there. So we'll see how that push goes, and he's got some examples of other states that have done this before, but we'll have to see. You know, this is probably one of the most environmentally cautious presidents we've ever seen. I'm curious if I get a chance to ask a question at the Breyer's press briefing later if this is going to be one of them.
Interesting, and it was fascinating too, I guess, because this is his home area, like it's your home area, Ryan, that the president said he expects the federal government to
pay for the whole thing, yeah.
Pay for the whole thing, which was kind of a quick reaction. Obviously, this ship, the Dolly, and their ownership, they have lots of insurance, or one would at least guess, and there's some liability here. And as a taxpayer and as one of those people, he's telling us we're going to pay for this bridge. Look, I want to help these people in Baltimore, but I don't want to pass up tax money that could help rebuild the bridge. I don't want to replace that with our money if we don't have to.
Well, that's a question the White House and the Transportation Secretary and everybody else needs to be asked, and I'm curious if anyone's going to ask it today.
That will be interesting. How's everything else? You okay? You sound like you have a little bit of a cough, a cold, or something.
Yeah,
allergies,
I don't know.
Maybe?
I'm trying to figure that out. Trying to
Could be allergies.
Out. I think it's allergies. I did not really test for any colds when I did some of that stuff myself the other yesterday, so I think I'm good. I just got to... Yeah, it's that time of year.
Yeah, it is, and there's a lot of people. We can't get rid of the common cold or allergies, for that matter.
Yeah,
they
stand the test of time.
They do. They do. Generationally, they do. All right,
yeah.
Drink some tea. Tea with lemon and a little honey and maybe a little something. I understand that works pretty well.
Yeah.
All right, Ryan, thanks so much.
I appreciate it, Paul. Thank you.
Ryan Schmelz, Fox News correspondent, WJR contributor extraordinaire. Coming up, Detroit Police Chief James White. What a great guy. Lots to talk about. Marie Osborne, speaking of great people. Luis Garcia from the IRS. And Henry Payne. We don't get to speak to the auto columnist, former cartoonist, still cartoonist, of the Detroit News. It's all coming up here in Focus with Paul W. Smith. Well, I just heard my commercial for Grand Hotel, and I'm so excited because I hadn't heard it yet, and it just gets me thinking. I mean, don't we all like to look ahead to vacations, and especially one that has become really a family tradition? We will be having the entire Smith family, or as much of it as we can, head up to Grand Hotel this summer, and we're looking forward to it. I hope you will do the same. There are plenty of ways and packages that you can take advantage of at Grand Hotel to make it possible for you and your family to be there. Meanwhile, great events that we've been talking about, of course, just 29 days now, 29 days till the Detroit NFL draft. And, of course, WJR is all over it. We'll be there in a very, very big way. And we'll bring it to you if you can't be there, or even if you do come along, bring your radio or your iPhone, and you can listen. You can stream us. You can do anything and everything you need to do. And I suggest always WJR.com is the right place to start for our streaming, for our podcasts, for everything that is WJR. Get the WJR app, WJR.com, and you can have it all, including our conversations, like this one right now that we're excited about, with the one and only Detroit Police Chief, James White. Chief White, always a pleasure and a privilege, sir.
Good afternoon, and thank you for having me.
Well, we're loving having you here, and we're 29 days out, and the city of Detroit and a whole bunch of partners kicking off the construction right now for stage near Campus Martius. Athletes will have their dreams of being selected for the National Football League come true. We'll be watching for our Lions. Many of us will be watching former University of Michigan players and any other colleges in our area, Michigan State, et cetera. And it's more exciting than ever. It's a very, very big deal, the NFL draft. And we were assured by the mayor a couple of times now, and everybody, that we're ready. And being ready means that we're all going to be real safe. And, of course, that falls on your shoulders and that of the hardworking men and women of the Detroit Police Department, Chief.
Yes, sir. We are super excited, and we are prepared. We are looking forward to this event. We're looking forward to our city being highlighted nationally. We've got a strong plan in place from a safety perspective. We have an expectation that folks are going to come in and just really enjoy themselves, and it's going to be a lot to do here. And the men and women of the Detroit Police Department are ready to go.
And it's an event that stretches through Campus Martius toward Hart Plaza. Family-friendly festivities, photo opportunities, the Lombardi Trophy will be there, plans for a red carpet event at the Fox Theater, the retailers will be around there, some pop-ups, all of that, children's athletic events in Corktown at the corner ballpark. You know, if everyone comes in with the right attitude, some patience, and understanding that this is a very fun event, it's an honor for us to have it, and it's a big deal opportunity for Detroit to once again shine to the world. And that's important.
Yeah, it is. And there's so many different aspects to it. I mean, when you look at the NFL experience for the kids and what that brings with it, the, you know, everything from the various events and the punt and pass activities for the kids. And then, of course, the main event, which is the draft itself, and you talked about, you know, just being really excited for the University of Michigan players that we all have been following, and Michigan State, and I mean, it's just going to be so many opportunities for everyone to find something at the event to be excited about, and it's all free.
And we do suggest, even though it is all free, that you visit Detroit, visitdetroit.com, visit the site, visitdetroit.com, and get your NFL One Pass. Don't
Absolutely.
Buy tickets from anybody, because you don't need to buy tickets. It's all free, but it's good to have the NFL One Pass. And if you don't have a smartphone and you can't download it, there'll be other ways for you to get in. But I suggest, for ease of movement, download the NFL One Pass free at visitdetroit.com. Now, much was made of the police officers being told that all days off and vacation time is gone, but we're only talking about a couple of days, so hopefully this isn't a big problem for any of the troops.
No, I mean, they're called restricted days. Our officers know what a restricted day is. We've done this before. We will continue to do it. You know, we've hosted major events in our city, fireworks, the Grand Prix, Beyonce and Taylor Swift. I mean, we host huge events. Utilizing the restricted day process is not unusual for the Detroit Police Department. We've done it in the past, and we'll do it in the future. And we manage around it. It allows us to have maximum deployment in our community and our neighborhoods while managing these large events. So it's for everyone's safety.
These police officers have done it before and done it very well. You named all of these different events. major events, major crowds in our major city of Detroit, and nary a problem. And I put that on you and all the hardworking men and women of the Detroit Police Department. So God bless you for that. Let us know if there's anything you need or any other ways we can help you to be sure that you're able to do the jobs that you do so very well. I do have a quick question, though. There's a story about armed private security guards that have been hired to temporarily help protect the Wayne County courts due to what one official calls daily threats to staff and others in the courthouses because of a chronic shortage of sheriff's deputies. Now, I know there were deputies assigned to protect the Wayne County court facilities, and those positions are vacant. Is this a normal problem for cities?
You know, Paul, I don't know enough about what's going on with that process with Wayne County to really give you an educated comment on it. I was made aware of it. I'm doing some research on it. But the preliminary information that I have is that it was a supplement, but I just, you know, don't want to misspeak on it. But on another show, I'll be more informed and be able to give you something on that.
All right. Well, we'll give you that opportunity to find out more. It just came up. And I just thought, is this normal? Is this the usual sort of thing? Or is this even something where the Detroit police could help out for a short while? Or maybe Michael Bouchard in Oakland County, the Oakland County Sheriff's Department, somebody who could step in. It just seems odd that they'd have to hire private guards to protect the county courthouse. I mean, it just...
I've seen guard... We've had security in 36 District Court. We've had security... that have worked in our courts for quite a while. So I don't know what has brought this particular issue to the forefront, but having security in courts is not an unusual thing to have happen. I've seen them supplement court work before, and it's just not something that is unusual.
Gotcha. Anything else we need to know about? Your opportunity to tell the world right here.
I'm going to have a fun, safe event, and as you indicated, get that NFL One Pass because you're going to need that to have access to the event and venue. And pack your patience. It's going to be a lot of people down here.
Pack your patience is right. And a lot of people from other places. So let's show them a good, safe time. And I know we're going to do that. Detroit Police Chief Extraordinaire James White, always a pleasure and a privilege, sir. And to all of your men and women, let's be careful out there.
Thank you, sir. I appreciate you.
Thank you. I appreciate you, Chief James White, as we continue in focus on WJR. 29 days till the Detroit NFL Draft, WJR, all over it. We'll be there in a very big way. 39 degrees right now, kind of windy, 39 degrees. Well, you know, most high school seniors this time of year are thinking about, well, prom, graduation, college. There's one 18-year-old senior at Seaholm High School that's thinking about all that and much more. He's written a book to help teens learn about investment strategies and finance, even appearing on CNBC's Power Lunch Show to talk about his book and passion for investing. And this addresses something that we have talked about so many times and can't figure out why schools still are failing to teach our kids about money, the power of compounding interest, how important it is to start investing, even if it's $5 a week or whatever it might be, will make a world of difference. And our WJR senior news analyst, Marie Osborne, is all over this fine story. Marie?
Hi, Paul. Ian Weinberg is out to change the hearts and minds of teenagers.
I found that many of the people my age didn't really like investing and thought it was something that was boring and only old people did.
So during the pandemic, he says he became so bored that he actually picked up an investment book his dad had given him, and he really began to read about it and thinking about the stock market. He says he took his bar mitzvah money, which his dad has saved for him, and some money that he got from his part-time job, and seriously began investing. His book, Invest Early to Grow Your Wealth, shows teens where to begin.
I think the S&P 500 is the way to go. It owns 500 of the biggest companies in America, and you can buy that through a mutual fund or an exchange-traded fund, and you get access to all those 500 companies through one investment.
So his investments philosophy?
I like to invest in companies that I understand and interest me. So I like cybersecurity companies and tech companies because I'm fascinated by technology, specifically AI.
And what are his best performing stocks?
My best performing stocks, probably NVIDIA. I'm up 2,500% on that one. I mean, that's I don't want anyone to think it's a get rich. The market is a get rich quick scheme, but that was a really good investment.
So his best advice to teens is you need to make some money. That means maybe get a part-time job. Check your spending, of course, and invest in what interests you. And he says that puts you onto the road to success. Paul, Ian is heading to the University of Michigan Ross School of Business this fall.
Oh, boy. Well, that's an excellent school, that's for sure, as deemed by people all over the country, not just by this graduate and the fact that Sophie happens to be in the Ross School of Business, but it is a big deal. He's going to do well. And when I saw you were doing this story, Maria, it kind of irritates me that it's some kid in high school who's telling us what our teachers should have already told us when we were all in high school. We've been talking about this a long time. Kids don't even know how to write out a check. Well, maybe they don't have to write a check anymore because everything's online. But no one has really pushed the power of compounding interest and the importance of starting as quickly as you can, as young as you can, to start to invest. And Warren Buffett's been around forever. This kid sounds, Ian sounds like a young Warren Buffett. Yeah. Warren Buffett is all about simply putting money in an S&P 500 index fund. That doesn't mean you have to be brilliant in picking stocks. Now, of course, I giggle when Ian says, well, NVIDIA with a 2,500% increase. Uh-huh. Yeah, that's pretty good. Not to be expected on a regular basis. And picking individual stocks is a very difficult way to assure yourself of long-term wealth. What will assure yourself of long-term wealth is getting in the game and getting in early. You mow lawns. I used to mow lawns for $3 a lawn. Had I known what I know now, a little late, putting away a little money every week, every month in an S&P 500 index fund. And then no one ever explained to me Roth IRAs, which are fabulous because you get the money in there, then you can take it out tax-free. And none of us knew early on how important it would be to avoid as many taxes as we can, especially in retirement. So that's what Chris Alberta teaches us. And that's what anybody who's now helping people with retirement. So these are things to learn and know early. And I'm going to tell you about a book that a friend gave me. And there are lots of books out there. And as a dad, I have bought books for my kids. This is one that they could really relate to. Now, this is a few years ago. My kids are all grown, but this is a few years ago. But I still think it probably makes a lot of sense. The book is called I Will Teach You to Be Rich. I Will Teach You to Be Rich. Now, Ian talked about reading books, investment books. He might have been reading more involved investment books. He's at a higher level. He's been doing this for a while. But if you pick up for your child or for yourself, I Will Teach You to Be Rich by Ramit Sethi. I think it's S-E-T-H-I. Ramit Sethi, S-E-T-H-I. I Will Teach You to Be Rich. You will find it to be an easy read and a very good read, especially for your kids, to learn about the importance of many of these things that none of us were taught in school. And I honestly, I don't know, Marie, you're closer to this than I am. I still don't think it's being taught in school.
Well, you know, actually last year I did a story on a teacher out in Macomb County who does teaching finance in high school, and there are teachers around. It's things like this need to be district wide, but there are teachers that are teaching finance to their students regularly, and they teach them how to invest, they teach them how to buy a house, they give them budgets, the whole nine yards. So they learn about all that.
Excellent.
Yeah,
we should put those teachers on a platform.
Well, yep, exactly. And also when you're talking about books, we want to, you know, push Ian's book here, specifically designed for teenagers. Again, the name of that is Invest Early to Grow Your Wealth. And I looked it up on Amazon. It's $12.99. Good investment, I think.
Invest Say it again. Invest
it's
early.
Invest
to...
early to grow your wealth by Ian Weinberg.
Ian Weinberg. Yeah, absolutely. We want to give a shout out for that. And it's not magic. And I can hear people saying, "Yeah, well, I don't have enough money to put some aside every week, every month, whatever." Yes, you do. If you buy a coffee out and spend $5 for it, or you know, any number of things we spend money on that we can do without or figure out a way to pay less money, it makes a difference. Invest early to grow your wealth. Ian Weinberg, I Will Teach You to Be Rich, Ramit Sethi. As parents, it's up to us, so we've got to do it. Marie, thanks much.
Thank you.
Marie Osborne, WJR Senior News Analyst. Luis Garcia from the IRS. Yes, they'll want a part of the money that you make. Henry Payne, auto columnist, cartoonist extraordinaire of the Detroit News. Got a lot going on this Wednesday, the 27th of March on WJR with Paul W. I hope you're having a great day on this Wednesday, March 27th. For some, it's still referred to as hump day, over the hump and through the week. Last check, 39 degrees and cloudy. So that's what it is. Maybe we'll hit the high, maybe we won't. 46 expected high. Somebody hit the number, Mega Millions, 1.1 billion, one ticket sold, you just heard in the news. We've got the team here, Dave Rieger, Danielle Mason, Rich Luzinski. WJR Traffic and Weather First. David, do you buy lottery tickets?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Danielle, do you buy lottery tickets?
I'm Danielle? Sorry, what?
Do you buy lottery tickets?
Oh, no. No way.
No way. Okay. And I don't know if Rich is anywhere near a microphone either right now. So the answer used to be, Ann used to say, Ann Thomas, our program manager now, used to say, well, you know, if it got to a certain amount. And I'm wondering, what amount wouldn't make a world of difference in your life starting at a million? I mean, if you want $1 million, but a lot of people wait until it's like it was $1 billion. Then all of a sudden, a lot of people get interested. And it was won, and the cash value about $528 million. That means if you don't take it out over a, I don't know, is it 20 years, David? I think it's over a 20-year period.
I think it's 20 or 25 years, yeah.
Yeah, and it's, you know, it's a, it'd be a lot of money, but a lot of people, I think, wisely say, who knows what's going to be going on in our country in 15 years, 5 years, let alone 25 years. So take the money,
yeah,
$528 million, give all that, all right, whatever you have to give to the IRS. I maybe I'll ask Luis Garcia, who's coming up at 118. Yeah. I don't know.
I always remember two things when it comes to the lotto. The one thing is, I remember when I had my first job when I was a freshman in high school, a guy I worked with, his parents won the original. Do you remember the original lotto when it was just the lotto? Like the Lotto 47, when it was just the original before we got all these other games.
Yeah.
His parents had won, they won it twice.
Oh, my.
For like $2.3 million and like $1.4 million. And that's life-changing money in itself right there.
Sure.
You know, and that was back in the, you know, in the late 80s and the early 90s. But, and then I also think of the movie Brewster's Millions, where, you know, remember that movie where, he had to spend $30 million in 1 month, and he couldn't invest it. He just had to spend it. He could not get any of it back to get $300 million. And could you spend $30 million in a month, Paul? But you can't.
If it meant I could get $300
million? Yes.
Yes, I would figure out a way.
But it's probably a lot harder than you think.
You
can't invest, right?
You can't You can't invest. You can't get it.
No, you can't buy a
house. Can't.
Well, can I buy each of you a Ferrari or Rolls Royce or Bentley? Each of my team members?
I mean, you could. I mean, you could do that.
I'm afraid I do, Rich. I do have to wait for that. But if I win $1 billion in the lottery, you can each consider yourself owners of whatever your favorite car is. It could be any car.
Oh, heck yeah.
I'm hoping I'm hoping it's a Ford F-150 because, you know, that's the best-selling truck for years, so I would go with that.
I would go with the, what is that? What is the EV? That new EV Cadillac is so cool.
Okay. I'm going for a Lincoln MKZ. I would like it in white or black. I would also like black rims. Amen.
You sounded like a New Jersey girl, and that's where somebody won in New Jersey, the single ticket holder for the fifth largest prize in the game's history, $1 billion. So
the Lyric, the Cadillac Lyric.
That's it, the Lyric. I couldn't think of it.
That is the one.
Kim loves that.
That car looks so cool.
That's what I hear. Yeah, Kim has.
So put that down.
Kim has been on top of that since she
for when
she
you
heard
win, Paul.
About it. Well, I'll ask you at the time.
Yeah, or like Rich
I suggest
said,
not if, holding your breath.
If you want to go ahead and just do that right now, it's fine. You know.
Now you're talking. now we're into the big bucks. So, Rich, do you buy lottery tickets? Yeah. Yeah. I do, and I do it automatically. It's not automatic. But I do it through the computer. I do it online. That's it. It's not automatic. I should have made it automatic, but I do it online. And the reason being, I have a friend who did. I always wondered, well, do those online things where they pick the numbers for you, all that stuff? Well, he won $1 million.
Oh, I remember that about 10 years ago.
Yeah, he won $1 million. And I thought, well, that works for me. So that's how I do it. But I should have done I wish I did a subscription, I guess it's called.
So because, you do an easy pick, essentially.
Totally easy pick, yeah.
Got it.
Yeah. Right. It was. And they called him, and he thought it was a scam or a put-on. And they said, no, this really is the Michigan Lottery. You've won $1 million. Yeah, right. Okay. Thanks so much. Have a nice day.
So how much did he get after taxes?
I don't know. I never asked him. I don't know. It's, you know, taxes takes a lot of money. So I don't know.
Still be worth it, though.
Oh, my gosh. Of course it's worth it. I don't know about anybody, but any extra money from a lottery winning. I get excited when I win $16. Well, that's after it, you know, they send you, because it's all automatic on your computer, they send you a note saying, congratulations. And I sometimes don't open it right away because I'm hoping they're going to say, congratulations, you've won the grand prize. But they don't. They say, you know, I win $8.
Do you play,
I win $16.
Do you play scratch-off tickets, Paul?
No, I do not.
Okay.
I have.
Yeah.
But
I like scratch-off tickets.
I haven't in years, but I've done. You do the scratch-off tickets?
Yeah, I do like scratch-off tickets.
There's a million of them.
The most I've ever won at one time on a scratch-off ticket was $500.
Wow, man! You say that like that.
And I thought that it was $50. So when I went to cash it in at the gas station, they were like, I don't have enough money to pay this." And I was like, "You don't have $50?
You have $50?"
And he goes, "No, you won $500." So I had to go. I had to go somewhere else.
No, you're lucky. He didn't say, you know what? We don't have it in the till, but I'll give you $50
right,
for the
well,
ticket.
Well, here's, now...
Here's,
well,
out of
well,
my wallet, here's
well,
$50.
Now, well, now with the Michigan Lottery app, I scan everyone on my phone, and it tells me how much I want to double-check.
You can scan the scratch-off tickets?
You can scan the barcode with your smartphone with the app, and it tells you how much exactly you won. Because
a lot
of the games, you don't know because there's so many different ways to win.
Yeah, there's too many.
Yeah, I always give mine to Dave and say, is this a winner? And then he scans it for me.
And he goes, no, none of these are winners. I'll throw them away for you.
These aren't even lottery tickets, Danielle.
These aren't even lottery tickets. You remember when people did, this was cruel, man. People did this thing where, you know, sometimes people buy lottery tickets for people for their birthday or something.
Oh, yeah.
But they sell these fake lottery tickets
yes.
to show you
yeah.
won.
Right.
Oh.
That
yeah.
is, I think, one of the cruelest things
yeah.
anybody
yeah.
could ever do
well,
to somebody.
Well, back in the day with the scratch-off tickets, you used to be able to scratch off a corner if you knew where the letter was, and the letter would tell you how much you won.
What?
Yeah,
really?
But that's gone. Those days are gone now.
Yeah, they figured out you figured that out, so they sent everybody.
You would know that Z was $50. You would know that S was $2. You would know what the letters, what they meant. But now it's all barcoded. It's all different now.
Now, do you guys think it matters, since you're out and about buying your tickets, do you think it matters where you buy. I got to tell you, because I was going to go out and buy extra, and Kim said, don't buy it there. I think she said, meaning no disrespect, but we go to CVS, so that's a plug for them, but no one ever wins at CVS.
I will say that there's a kiosk that I go to for scratch off that has a high percentage of winning.
Really?
Yes.
Yeah. Just between us, where is that?
It's at the Kroger by my house.
And
we got to know where he lives.
Where do you live, Dave? I don't want to get nosy here, but all right. You can tell everybody off air, and then we'll just tell our friends on the air.
Okay.
So now so that was the Mega Millions. Is the Powerball still up a lot of money, or did somebody win that too?
I don't know. I'd have to check that. I'm sure that
we'll check that before we get out of here at 2 o'clock. I want to know. I'm just because they were both pushing $1 billion. That's how they were advertising it. They were that both of them were a billion or close to a billion. So it was like $2 billion.
Apparently, the next drawing tonight is estimated at $865 million.
All right, that's good.
Which has a $416.1 million cash value, Paul.
I don't know. I think even Ann would want to buy a ticket.
You've got 9 hours and change to go get your tickets.
Okay. 9 hours and change, and that's for the Powerball,
yeah.
I think, right?
Okay. Yep.
Mm-hmm. All right. Good luck, everybody. Good luck, everybody. And then when you get that money, you'll talk to Luis Garcia from the Internal Revenue Service, and he'll help you get all that handled, and then you can move on. You heard the guy in the news say, take a picture of it, sign it, photocopy it, and put it somewhere safe.
I was told go seek out a lawyer first.
That they said that in the news too. Seek out a lawyer. I think they may have said don't tell anyone, even your family.
No, you go get a lawyer first. Yep.
Yep. Okay, Luis Garcia, IRS, up next here. It's Focus with Paul W. Smith and the whole gang, Dave Rieger, Danielle Mason, Rich Luzinski, along with you, the best and brightest audience in all of radio. We continue. Well, Dave Rieger's already put in his order for his Cadillac Lyric. He wants it to be black with tinted windows. Okay, well, listen, I hope it happens. It means I would have won a big lottery jackpot. I would love that. And then, of course, you do all the things you have to do. You get a lawyer. You take care to take pictures of, sign the back of the ticket, put it somewhere very safe, photocopied, all that stuff. And then you think about the tax implications for winning that kind of money, and then I would call Luis Garcia, Media Relations of the Internal Revenue Service. Although that's not what we're here to talk about today. I was asked on that big billion-dollar ticket that was sold, and I think the cash value, now I don't have it in front of me, was, let me see what if I can find the note. It was like a half billion. I can't find it. So I don't know off the top of your head, this isn't what you do, Luis, but say you win a billion-dollar ticket. They say the cash value's $500 million. What happens? What kind of a tax would you have on $500 million? Do you know that off the top of your head, a ballpark figure, Luis?
No, because a lot of people, the first thing they do, which I think is really smart, is they go directly to a big accounting firm or a tax attorney, and they set themselves up in a way that is going to minimize their tax burden. So everybody's
sense.
Different.
Yep, that makes sense. All right, here's what we're talking about today, and this is pretty crazy. You know, you do hear stories about, well, there's a lottery ticket, nobody ever claimed it, and it's been a year, and it's going to go away, so check your lottery tickets. This is happening with unclaimed tax refunds, like $1 million almost in unclaimed, 940,000 people, 1 million people who have not claimed their refunds, and that total is more than $1 billion nationwide. What the heck?
Yeah, and here in Michigan, it's about 35,000 people with a total of $38 million. What, 38,274,800, and the average refund is $976. They're just leaving it on the table.
What in the world? I mean, lottery tickets you might have put in the laundry or you threw it away with junk in your pocket. There's so many sad things that could happen, but when you do your taxes, that's kind of a big deal. And you see, by doing the paperwork and filing your taxes properly, which these people obviously did, or they wouldn't have refunds coming. It seems hard to imagine you'd forget.
Well, actually, they didn't. The issue that we often find is that it's somebody away at school, like their last year before they get into the big world or go on to grad school or whatever. They move, they have that check sent to them, and then it gets sent back to us. And typically what we do is we wait until they file again and then just add that to their account for the following year.
Is that
and
right?
Either, you know, so you will catch up with you and you'll get your refund. But these are people who haven't filed since. And again, it could be somebody going through a life change. They've gotten married, they've gotten divorced, they've moved on, they moved out of the country, whatever the case might be. But the money's just sitting there. It's not ours. And we don't want it, but you've got to claim it in order to get that money. And the average is $976. I mean, come on, it's worth a look.
It is worth a look. And the federal tax collector saying at the beginning of this week, roughly 940,000 people in the U.S. have until May 17th to submit tax returns for unclaimed refunds for tax year 2020. Which total more than $1 billion nationwide. Now, I didn't get that they had not filed again for whatever the reasons, and you gave several of them. I thought it was just people who had filed and were supposed to get a refund. And but you don't have to do anything if you're getting a refund, do you? That just happens.
Right. But if you file, if you file subsequently, and let's say you owe, we'll add whatever credit you have previously against that amount you owe. Or if you are due a refund, hey, you get a double refund, you know, last year's and this year's. But we've got to file, you know, you've got to file. And a lot of people, the last thing they think of is, well, I've moved and I need to file a form with the IRS to let them know that I've moved. If you're going through some tax issues, your accountant might walk you through that, or your tax professional might walk you through that. But the average person is like, hey, I don't know, I moved. So we get that check back, and then we just wait to hear from them again. It'll be their new place, or what we always tell people, please just use direct deposit. The easiest way. It's not going to get lost. It's not going to get stolen. It's going to go right into the account you tell us to put it in. And if you move, most people keep their accounts with them, so you'll have access to that money right away.
Yeah, and let's face it, sadly, I wish it weren't true, but there are so many scam artists out there and people so ready to take from you, to steal from you, and steal from the government too, that the direct deposit can help you avoid all of that. In fact, what are some of the latest scams out there that these bad people are using the IRS in their scam?
It's still the biggest one is the one that has been just an assault for the past 14 years now. And that is the impersonating phone call. They call, they usually know the right time to call. And even if they just get one person out of 10,000, you know, that's a win for them. And they get you when you're not in the right frame of mind, and they make you panic, make you stop thinking, and they will rip you off. And they're, remember, it's not just your money, but it's your personal information that they find so valuable. So you got to be careful. And just remember the three red flags. Remember that the IRS may call you, very, very rare, but we do call. But the IRS is never going to threaten you. We're never going to call out of the blue and say, you've got to pay by this particular payment method, whether it's, you know, a wire transfer, gift cards. We do not accept gift cards. And the IRS is never going to say you've got to pay right this instant, or you'll be arrested or deported or foreclosed on, whatever scary thing these criminals say. So just remember, we're never going to threaten, no matter what anybody's told you, we do not threaten. We're never going to demand immediate payment, and we're never going to tell you've got to pay by this way, you know, international wire transfer, whatever the case.
Yeah. You know, and I have to tell you, Luis, and this just was stunning to me most recently, and I told my listeners about this at the time. There was a person whose livelihood was writing in the newspaper. This was in another town. They wrote a column on safe investing, safe tax paying, safe things to avoid scams. They were an expert, and they were taken. They were taken for $50,000. This is a person who was learned in these areas, and that's just how good these scam artists have become. So you really, really have to be on guard.
I'm really glad you mentioned that, because a lot of people, and I'll do interviews with you know, go to around the Midwest. And
wait a minute, you do interviews with more people than just me? I'm heartbroken.
In Cincinnati, Cleveland. And they say, they're like, well, what's wrong with these people? We've been saying this for years. How are people still falling for it? And the key is, these guys are, and I've never ever said, hey, you know, you've got to be a chump to fall for this. No, not at all. If they catch you at the right time, if they get you when you're not thinking right, let's say you're driving, let's say you've got, you know, something on your mind, the initial red flags that you're looking out for don't pop up because you're just focused on something else. They get you at the right time. They get you to start panicking, and all of that thinking goes out the window, and it can happen to anybody. It really can happen to anybody. So I never, ever, you know, make fun of or denigrate anybody who's been a victim, because, hey, I've seen really smart, really sophisticated people fall for it.
Yep. And like we said, that expert. So remember this, if you do get a phone call, which is very rare, but it could happen, they're not going to threat you. There are no threats. They're not going to say, you got to pay this way, send gift cards, international wire. They're not going to say, pay this way. And they're never going to say, you got to do this right now before I get off the phone with you. You got to pay right now. They don't do that. That's not the IRS. Hang up. And then call the IRS and tell them about the scam. Luis Garcia, always a pleasure, my friend.
Pleasure's mine. Thank you. Bye, Paul.
Luis Garcia. All right. Yeah, Internal Revenue Service here on the WJR. Henry Payne, the auto columnist. What a great job he has and does at the New York Auto Show, which we used to go to all those auto shows. And yeah, maybe we'll get it started up in the new show. We'll see. You never know. Things have changed greatly, so we'll see. But we know for sure Henry Payne is always good, and he's coming up next in Focus with Paul W. Smith. Well, it's the first press day of the 2024 New York Auto Show. It'll be open to the public come Friday, and it'll run through April 7th. And you don't know how unusual that is, because, frankly, auto shows have gone by the wayside all around the world, sadly. We're very lucky that Rod Alberts has been able to keep the auto show alive, the North American International Auto Show Detroit, and we hope that that can happen for a long time. But there are a lot of very heavy winds out there. But that didn't keep the Detroit News from sending Henry Payne, the auto columnist, to the New York Auto Show, and he's going to tell us, among other things, how the Big Apple is adapting to this new era of what we always knew as the auto shows, and we used to broadcast from all of them. Henry, nice to catch up with you. I'm glad you're there.
Hey, Paul W. Yeah, good to be with you. I'm right here next to the main hall of the New York Auto Show in the Javits Center on the east side of Manhattan. And I'll tell you, the east side of Manhattan has changed quite a bit. I'm right next to Hudson Yards, which is the new skyscraper, midtown skyscraper area of Manhattan. It's spectacular, but inside Javits Center, a big change from 20 years ago when you and I used to go to shows like this. New York, like Detroit, has really shrunk as an auto show. They're down to one exhibition floor. They used to occupy three.
Wow.
They only have enough brands to fill three fill one exhibition hall, and then they use another exhibition hall for an electric vehicle test track, much like Detroit.
The European automakers still kind of scarce at the New York Auto Show?
Yeah, they're gone. They've fled
totally
all of the
gone
shows.
Now. Oh, my God.
Yeah, if you go, and that's not just Detroit. If you go to Chicago, go to Los Angeles, and, of course, here in New York, which is most surprising because this is the biggest income demographic of the four big North American shows. The German European automakers are gone. No BMW, no Audi, no Porsche. Porsche does have a special display here because New York puts on an exotics exhibition. And so they brought in a couple Porsches, including the all new Porsche Macan Electric, the first electric Macan SUV they've done.
Huge, huge horsepower, I think, on that one.
Yeah, all these EVs will snap your neck. I think that's you know, that's what the auto shows do well now. They've always been dealer run. They've always been about getting people into cars. And so with this electric vehicle transition going on, there are a lot of electric vehicles you can get into down on the electric vehicle test track, including not just the, you know, Detroit vehicles like the new Silverado EV or the new Cadillac Lyriq EV, but you can also get into vehicles like the Lucid, which is a very unusual, very high-end and neck-snapping EV. So a lot for customers to try out on the EV track.
Aren't there a lot of those cars? I was just behind a Lucid the other day, and you always note it. But aren't they all in trouble? Aren't they all running to survive at this point?
Yeah, it's tough. You know, doing a startup in this industry is tough. We kind of are used to Detroit, how good the manufacturers are, these mature legacy manufacturers like Ford, GM. It is hard to raise the capital, to bring together hundreds of suppliers and assemble an automobile. That's really hard. Tesla is really the only successful startup in the last half century in this country. And automakers like Lucid, Rivian, Fisker, are really, really struggling. In fact, today, Fisker is on the verge of bankruptcy and slashed its prices in half today because they're on the verge of going under.
Wow. And a lot of them have lost money on every vehicle they've sold, unfortunately. Hey, let me close the loop on the fact that Porsche bucking the trend of a lot of European car companies that didn't show up. Porsche, as you said, this one special little small display. But that electric Macan SUV, 630 horsepower. That's nuts. That is just crazy. But yeah. There it is. A quick question here. We are very lucky to have Henry Payne, auto columnist, cartoonist, Detroit News. He's there in New York at the Jacob Javits Center for the New York Auto Show, a greatly reduced New York Auto Show. But when we do, I've been very lucky to be able to do broadcasts even not too long ago again from the boat shows on the Wallstrom Marine and Colony Marine stands, if you will. Do you think the difference between the boat shows and the auto shows is they sell boats at the boat show? We don't sell cars at the auto shows. Do you think that would change anything? When I mean sell, I mean you can actually have a transaction. Certainly they sell cars at auto shows. People see them and say, I love that, I'm going to go buy that. But at a boat show, they say, I love that, I'm going to buy this.
I'll tell you, Paul W., you know, some of these dealers' ears may be burning because that's an interesting idea. And it's you've seen the evolution of the dealership. You know, I was just talking to the Lincoln folks, another brand that is not here at the New York Auto Show. But I was talking to them recently, and they do these little boutique dealerships now shopping areas. So you don't necessarily have to go to these big dealer mega malls in order to buy a Lincoln. Of course, we all know you can walk into malls and buy Teslas. So I think that's a heck of an idea. I mean, set up little mini dealerships in these auto shows and sell cars. That's smart.
I think they need to do something. Did Subaru bring along the dogs?
Subaru has the biggest. This gives you an idea of what's changed, because you and I remember these monster displays the Detroit automakers used to bring to shows. Subaru has the fanciest display here in New York. And I didn't run into the dogs, but it's a very fancy display. They sell a lot of cars in the Northeast.
Well, you know, you see Subaru, you see Kia, you see a lot of people that you never used to see highlighted. Hyundai, I mean, it's a new world, isn't it? And, you know, what we did, in my opinion, Henry, by throwing in the towel and following what Washington wanted us to do, the EVs, we became a startup. We took away our 100-year head start. We, meaning the big three here, I still call them the big three, we gave away our advantage. And that's why there are these little companies from Korea and China and elsewhere that maybe people never heard of that are on a level footing with our auto companies without the legacy costs that we have. So it's scary.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. I mean, you get government involved in any market, and it gets tricky. And you see what the Detroit Three really do well that nobody else does, which is trucks. And, man, if you force those to go electric, that's going to be really tough. To your point, I mean, big surprise here, the World Car Awards are announced at the New York Auto Show every year. The Hyundai N, which is a electric performance car from Hyundai, beat the two BMWs, because to your point, all these brands are sort of on electric, on the same playing field with new electrics. It's tough for the legacy automakers if the customer buys electrics, and that's a tough sell these days.
Henry, it dropped out for a second. The Hyundai N beat who?
The Hyundai Ioniq 5N, which is the first electric performance car from Hyundai, beat the BMW M2 and the BMW XM. Imagine that. Hyundai beating the BMW M models.
Oh,
yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, it's a different playing field when you go electric.
Boy, it sure is. Well, I always admire you, your writing, your cartooning. I think you're an incredibly talented guy, and I'm thrilled that you came on the show. Let's not make it so long between visits.
Paul W., it's always great to be with you.
Henry Payne, auto columnist, Detroit News. Cartoonist extraordinaire, I might add. I'm never going to forget that. And Henry Payne's just an all-around good guy from the Detroit News. Happy to feature him here. Coming up, we'll find out what Chris Renwick has planned for JR Afternoons here on this Wednesday edition of Focus with Paul W. Smith. Well, Buttigieg saying that the ship was not, I mean, the bridge was not built to take a hit from a ship. I suspect most bridges are not, but they do have to have some sort of backup system so that you can't hit one end and the whole thing goes down. They'll have to figure all that out. We've also just been told by the Coast Guard that that the ship, I never even thought about this, the ship actually had, out of all those containers on there, 56 of the containers have hazardous material in them. That's not something that we were thinking about as we watched that cargo ship crash into the Francis Scott Key Bridge in Baltimore. Never even occurred to me. Maybe it occurred to you, but I never even thought about it. Now they say 56 of those containers containing hazardous material. So another thing to concern ourselves with and worry about at this point, but so far, so good. Except for, of course, at least six lives lost, six workers who died in that bridge collapse. All right, let's change the mood for a moment. Be caller 9 right now at 1-800-859-0957. 1-800-859-0WJR to win a pair of tickets to experience the Detroit Symphony Orchestra performing Debussy and Rachmaninoff, playing April 5th through the 7th at Orchestra Hall. One of the finest symphony orchestras in the world, our DSO. And Debussy's Prelude, with its dreamy flute solo, evokes longing and desire. The celebration of Rachmaninoff at 150 ends with his last work for orchestra, a powerful, heart-pounding ride. Official rules at WJR.com. Tickets on sale now at DSO.org. One of the best symphony orchestras in the country, in the world, our Detroit Symphony Orchestra. Go to DSO.org and be there April 5th through the 7th. Or be caller 9 right now at 1-800-859-0957. 1-800-859-0WJR. And we wish you certainly good luck with that. 29 days till the Detroit NFL Draft. And WJR all over it will be there in a very, very big way. All of us will be there. And don't forget to stream us Take along your radios or your smartphones, even there at the big NFL draft. And by the way, you do need to get your NFL One Pass. That's easy to do. Go online and you can't miss it. Meanwhile, stream us at WJR.com. It's all so simple. Just go to WJR.com, have the WJR app, and you can now get your podcasts there as well. That's a great way, easy way to remember for listening to our show when you can't be here from noon to two. So you can get the podcasts at WJR.com as well. Well, we're getting ready to hand off the baton. I just got to find all my paperwork here because I was doing some other things when we found out that we had the contest here. And I wanted to share this because I knew Chris Renwick would get a kick out of this as much as I have. Because Chris Renwick and JR Afternoon, of course, is up next. Chris, you ready to go?
Let's go. We're ready, Paulie. How are you?
I'm fine. Did you hear this? This scares the heck out of me. Researchers in Africa have discovered a new species of frog, and it's the largest they've seen in more than 100 years. This is a frog, nearly a foot long.
Oh, God.
That's not the worst of it. It has sharp, ferocious teeth and a pair of bony protrusions coming out of its lower jaw. You got to be kidding me.
Hold on. I got to Google this so I can get a reference point here.
Is it
the Goliath frog?
It's an African bullfrog called Pyxcephalus betelii. And I'm sure I'm not pronouncing that correctly, but it doesn't matter because none of us know how to pronounce it.
Oh, my.
Nearly a foot long in South Africa. This just reminds me again of these guys who want to bring back the woolly mammoth. Our world would be better without this frog, and our world is better without the woolly mammoth. And here's what these scientists have to understand. Just because you can doesn't mean you should. Haven't we all heard that expression? I think our parents introduced us to that expression. Just because you can doesn't mean you should. They don't need to bring back the woolly mammoth, and let's do away with this foot-long frog with sharp teeth, ferocious teeth. Ay, ay, ay.
One of only three species of frog to have teeth, so there's others out there, unfortunately.
Oh, my God. Yep. And there are going to be people out there that are going to want to kiss and lick the frog, thinking they're going to get a buzz off of it. Remember that whole story?
You know, this Pyxcephalus adversus, whatever it is, for once, can we just name one of these bullfrogs Jeremiah?
We should.
Just
and on that
once.
Happy note, if it were my show and I were spinning records, I would have immediately gone into that song to say goodbye. So pretend that we've got Jeremiah was a bullfrog.
Yep.
All right. Have a great show.
Thank you, Paulie.
Chris Renwick, JR Afternoon. Go on out, make it a great rest of the day. Regards, Paul W. Smith.